Ross Metro, Anthony Grant, Coach of the Dayton Flyers of the A-10. Coach Grant, how does it been dating with you guys, man? How's the weather up there, first and foremost? Is it cool up there?
Oh, yeah, it's starting to change, man. You know, the leaves are falling, and we got tricked about a week ago. It was in the mid-60s, low 70s, and now we're back to that winter's coming. You know, that nip is in the air, and it's coming. But, you know, we're making it, man. Everything's good.
Now, Coach, about the March, man, I know you're supposed to be in Brooklyn for the A-10 tournament, and all things kind of went sour, it went sideways for everybody. So tell us about how that for your team, been in Brooklyn, get ready for that tournament up there, had a great team, could have won that championship, yeah. And then went to the big dances. Yeah. And so how was that going from playing in Brooklyn to telling you guys we're not playing anymore to going back home and being virtual? How has that been for you and your staff and your team, Coach?
Yeah. Yeah, it was surreal, man, just to be honest with you. You know, obviously, we were really excited about, you know, getting to the A-10 tournament. We had won the league outright, going 18-0 and number one seed going into it. And we were set to play. I think it was going to be on that Friday would have been our first game. So we were looking, I think, maybe Wednesday to go catch. I think it was Thursday we were supposed to play. That Wednesday, we were catching the VCU and UMass game to see who we would end up playing. And as we were heading into the arena, we got the word that the games were canceled and that the tournament was canceled. So, you know, the next thought was, okay, we got to get to our team because we knew that they had heard it also. So we called a quick meeting, and by the time we got back to the hotel, you know, everybody had heard. And when we went into the meeting room, you know, to tell them, hey, listen, this is what happened. You know, when you see their faces, that's when it really hits you. When you see your guys and you see the hurt and the disappointment, and especially for my seniors. You know, it was a tough time. It was an emotional time, you know, but we were hopeful that at that point that we, you know, we still had the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
We checked out of the hotel and we're heading to the airport to go to come back to Dayton. And it was almost, you know, I guess the perfect ending because right when the doors of the airplane closed, the word went out that the NCAA tournament had been canceled. You know, so we're in the air and you realize the season's over, you know, and you have no contact with the outside world. So, you know, you're not getting any more texts, you're not getting any phone calls, you're not dealing with social media. You're left to your own thoughts, you know, and just your own feelings about what just happened. You know, so I think that period of time, you know, what I tried to do is gain some perspective because I knew I was dealing with a bunch of guys that were going to be crushed. You know, that everything they had aspired for that whole year and what we worked so hard to achieve, just that fast had been taken away. So the perspective that I reached, man, was that at the end of the day, it was so much bigger than basketball. You know, and at that time, we didn't know that we'd still be dealing with this and over, you know, 250 of our fellow citizens would pass away from the 250,000 of our fellow citizens would pass away from this virus, you know, but at the time we felt like the decision that was made was the right decision, you know, so and for the well-being of our players, our staff, the fans, the people that would have wanted to come out to watch us play, we felt like the right decision was made. So when we got back to campus, what I asked the guys to do was just understand that we had a choice to make. We could choose to be bitter and upset about what we didn't get a chance to do, or we could be grateful for what we did get a chance to do, right? And so in 31 games that we got to play together, we had a lot of great memories. We had a lot of fun. And, you know, I think we did some things that excited not only our campus and our community, but the country. You know, I think a lot of people saw what we were capable of. It was unfortunate, obviously, and very disappointing that we didn't get a chance to see how far it would go. You know, nothing's ever guaranteed. We liked our chances, but at the end of the day, man, I'm grateful for that group we had last year and all the experiences we got to share with them, man. It was a blessing.
Now, Coach, are you all concerned being in New York? Because I know for me, we played the New York Knicks on March 11th on my birthday. We played the New York Knicks, and I was kind of concerned for a few weeks. Like, I was around New Yorkers, the Knicks players. But you all kind of worried about that for a while, that knowing you really been in New York as everything went kind of bad, you saw what's going on up that way. Did you kind of feel concerned for you and your players for a little while there into April?
Not really, man, because, you know, we had just came in maybe the day before, that Tuesday. You know, we were pretty much, you know, isolated in the hotel just among our guys. You know, guys' families were were planning on coming in, and they had already determined that there wasn't going to be fans allowed in the venue. It was just going to be family members and support personnel that were allowed. So, you know, at the time, you knew it was going on, but to be honest with you, I don't think it had really gripped everybody that it had spread the way it did until that evening. I think it was Tuesday evening that you're looking at ESPN and it comes across that Rudy Gobert had contracted the virus and that the NBA had canceled the Utah-Oklahoma City game and had postponed all future games. I think that's really when it hit me, and I think really most of the country that, oh, this thing is serious. You know, this thing is real. So yeah. So but at that moment, you know, I wasn't, you know, we weren't there to go see sights in New York, man. We were there to try to go win three games and go try to win a championship. So it was all business for us.
Academically, Coach, I know you stress it with your players. So how was that going from on-campus virtual learning, keeping them accountable, that with academic advisors, your coaches as well, make sure your young men's GPA stay the way you want them to stay high, and making sure your APR is great the way it's always been, wherever you've been at coaching?
Yeah, well, JR, our guys have done a great job, and we got great academic advisors here and the support we get. So when the school year ended last year, man, and the guys, basically when we got back to campus had already been let out, so there was really nobody here. So we made sure our guys were all set, and we sent them home, and they had to finish the semester online. And so they did a great job of just being who they are, man. They stayed true to taking care of the business and took care of their academic stuff. Our academic advisors here did a great job of making that transition to online learning and making sure our guys had what they needed. And then, you know, we've kind of been a hybrid model since then, since we've come back from the summer till now, of some in-person learning and primarily this virtual learning, you know. So it's been a transition, no doubt. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, where the real transition happens is for those incoming freshmen, first time on campus, and they don't have the traditional, you know, support and learning environment that they normally would. And so this has been a big adjustment for the new guys that walk in, you know. So you know, for the guys that are in high school now, they'll be used to it by the time they get to college. Like, okay, I could be in person, I could be, you know, virtual, I could do either one, because they'll have done both. So, you know, I mean, hopefully at some point, man, we'll get through this and, you know, be better for it. You know, every experience you go through, you got a chance to grow from it and get better from it. So hopefully we'll be able to see a light at the end of the tunnel here soon.
Now, Coach, how'd you use Zoom to kind of enlighten your young men's minds as diversities around with the pandemic, social justice going on in our country, what the election that came through here? So how'd you use Zoom to kind of make sure your men's minds were sharp about what's going on around them, so they didn't fall into a depression? Because when all this bad is going around, you kind of slip into a state of depression. So how'd you keep your young men's minds sharp and fresh so they wouldn't have those negative thoughts in their heads the way people tend to when things are not going their way?
Yeah, thank God for Zoom. Thank God for Zoom, because obviously you're in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, you don't have hands on your guys. You know, you can't see them in person when a lot of the things that you're referring to took place. You know, our guys were at home. They were in different environments. So obviously this summer, with what happened in your city with Ahmaud Arbery and what happened in Minnesota with George Floyd and obviously Louisville with Breonna Taylor, that made national news. And in the middle of the pandemic, caught most of the country's attention. Anybody that was paying attention saw what was going on. And you know, for a guy like myself, you know, you live a few decades and you see patterns. You know, you see a history of things that were unjust. And I think what was different about this is this got everybody's attention, partly because we were in a pandemic and there was really nowhere to go to get away from it. You had to recognize what was going on. It was something that we've all seen. So it allowed our young people a chance to say, oh, this is how I feel about this. So what we tried to do is use Zoom to have them just talk about how they felt about what was going on. And then also to try to educate them, okay, in terms of maybe some history to give them knowledge about some things that they felt a certain way about, so they could be educated if they felt a desire and a motivation to voice their opinion or to get involved in certain areas, and tried to encourage them from, you know, the obviously we just went through the election cycle, you know, and that the history and some of the things obviously that you guys have experienced in Atlanta, I shared with them, you know, with Sandra Abrams, is her journey, and you know, we got guys from all over the country, from different states, some of them out of the country, so just making them aware of some of the history of some things that have gone on and their opportunity to get engaged in this process. And you know, I'm proud to say all of our guys exercise their right to vote and use their voice to try to affect change, man. So I just encourage all your listeners, man, you guys got, you know, you got an opportunity there in Georgia to do something special here, man, come yes. January. So I want to encourage all your listeners, man, you know, make sure you guys get out and vote and make a difference. And we'll be supporting you and praying for you, man.
Well, Coach, we've been doing that here at the show. We've been on the ground, getting registered to vote, doing early voting. Coach, giving people food and drinks on the line at the polls, because unfortunately in Georgia, we have an issue with voter suppression. So we made sure to give them food and water, keep them encouraged, so they wouldn't get out of line. So I'm glad that our efforts here on the ground helped, because seeing it actually come to fruition, Coach, and with us turning blue, it was like, wow, the work we were doing actually paid off. Because, no, I was doing the work, Coach, was like, it's really making a difference, right? And seeing those numbers come in, I'm like, the work we did on the ground here actually paid off. And I'm like, wow. Seeing somebody do it, I was like, man, we actually got it done for real. I was happy to see that.
Yeah, and just understand, man, the work is not done. The work is not done. You got another election coming up in January, man. So everybody's got to stay engaged and stay motivated. And the rest of the country is watching, man. And you know, we're supporting. And like I said, just keep everybody engaged and keep everybody strong, because that's how we can impact change.
Now, Coach, you know, not kind of scheduling-wise, Coach, I know it's been tricky for you guys, because I know, like, here in Georgia, you got players on your roster from Georgia. You know, here, it's pretty much wide open here in Georgia. Now, you go up north, and you do where UMass is, or New Jersey, it's not as open up that way. So how have you all trying to coordinate traveling in different places, knowing what rules are different here, and also scheduling games with schools coming from different parts of the country where they may have a mask mandate? So how's that been, trying to get scheduling done and knowing traveling, going where you're going, knowing how to go about it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's difficult, because like you just mentioned, every state has different rules, and every state is going through different stages of dealing with this pandemic in terms of you know, how many cases they have and you know, where they are in terms of some of the restrictions placed by your governor or your mayors, you know, or local authorities in terms of what can happen. I would say, you know, obviously we've got some things that we have scheduled, some games that obviously we're looking forward to, you know, being able to participate in, whether it's here at home or whether we travel. You know, we've got a game scheduled in your city down in Atlanta, you know, and we're looking forward to participating there. But I think the one thing that's been revealed all the way through this thing is that we're not in control. The virus is in control, right? And so we just have to understand that we have to be flexible one day at a time and do everything we can to protect ourselves, protect our community, protect our neighbors, and be diligent and listen, man. It's pretty simple, man. If we could all wear a mask, you know, social distance, you know, wash our hands when we come in contact with foreign objects, we got a chance to maybe, you know, keep people safe, man. And so whether or not you feel comfortable doing it yourself, you know, think of the next person, right? And think of the impact you can have on somebody outside of just you, right? So so I think it's imperative that we all try to do our part and understand we're not in control of it, right? So we just have to take it day by day.
Now, how are you trying to build your young men, trying to get those guys ramped up, Coach, to be able to play? Because I know, you know, when young men have been inactive for a while, they've been on campus with you for a while. So how do you kind of approach, so they don't have a nagging knee, ankle, or a hamstring all your lungs, so you can be ready to play come November 25th, or not, you know, be get injured for some, where they could just kind of temp that a little bit more. So how's that ramp up there for your players?
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough because, you know, like I said, everything, I think you got to go back to, you know, like last March, man, everything got shut down, you know. So for multiple months, you didn't have your guys. You weren't in the weight room. You weren't on the court training. You weren't getting their bodies physically ready to and prepared for what they have to go through over the course of a season. And then now you're dealing with, if you do have cases or there's contact tracing going on, you get shut down for 14 days at a minimum, you know, and then to try to come back and say, okay, we're going to amp it up, that's difficult. And then just the normal stuff you deal with, a sprained ankle or somebody gets banged up and they got to miss time, you know. So we're actually dealing with that in terms of having guys out just from random things that happen over the course of the season. So it's a challenge. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a challenge because you're dealing with, you know, the pandemic and the testing protocols that come into place with that every week. And, you know, you're hoping every week that, you know, you can continue to move forward and not get shut down. And then you also have guys that maybe haven't had haven't built up the base that they normally would, you know, through the weight room and through training to get prepared for the season. So I think what you'll see is, you know, these early games that we'll start to play next week, you'll see guys that are just still kind of trying to find their way in terms of the conditioning and the physicality and everything that goes with getting the season started. So it'll be interesting to see, man. But I'm excited about, you know, getting there next week and seeing what we're able to do.
So I feel like, Coach, we're literally going to be like a rotational little change from game to game, trying to get people in shape and learning on the fly, you know, having to install things here and there, man. I can only imagine the headache you coach the head right now.
There'll be things that you just haven't been able to get to. Things you just haven't been able to get to at this stage because of other things that are going on. So, yeah.
Now, Coach, that's what I'm talking to about. Obi Toppin. I think he might get drafted by the Cavaliers. Hopefully, the Hawks, number six, maybe. Hopefully, we can use him. You know, but tell us a little bit about Obi, man, and how you see him playing in the NBA, how his game will be in the league, man. Here, he's going to be drafted here tomorrow night here at some point.
Yeah. Well, I'm so proud of that young man. You know, just to think, you know, where he was 3 years ago when he walked in the door here as a freshman and to see the maturity. You know, where he's grown as a person and as a player. I'm just so proud of him. Excited for the opportunity he's going to have tomorrow to hear his name called. So I think, you know, what he brings is a level of athleticism and skill. I think he's a guy that's ready to walk in the door and impact an NBA team as a rookie. You know, I think he's prepared mentally and physically to do that. So I'm really excited for him wherever he ends up. You know, I'm gonna be a fan of that team, and you know, there's a tradition here at Dayton that on the weekends, our students like to when the weather's good, they like to wear, you know, jerseys. So you may see some Raiders jerseys or some Dirty Birds or some Dolphins or the Golden State Warriors or the Hawks. I promise you, the most popular jersey on our campus is going to be that Obi Toppin jersey wherever he ends up. You'll see thousands of kids walking around with that Obi Toppin jersey.
He's just a great
young man, and I know this university is so proud of him.
All right, Coach, I'm so hoping he's showing up with the Atlanta Hawks. I'm like, look, we can use this guy, man. We can't get Wiseman and Edwards, so let's go with OB. Let's go with him, and let Cleveland take whoever they want to take. He falls out to high ground. So I'm hoping for that, man. I really am, Coach.
We'll see.
Now, Coach, I got one for you, Coach. So tell us this. During the pandemic, Coach, what's been your hobby you picked up in the pandemic since you've been to yourself a little bit, you and your family? So what's something you've learned and picked up since you've been kind of inactive a little bit there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I don't have a whole lot of hobbies, man. For me, my wife and I, we'll go for walks. You know, thought about biking a little bit, but never did follow through on that. Read, you know, obviously, you know, with all the stuff that went on this summer from a social injustice standpoint, did a lot of reading, did a lot of educating myself to try to help myself and really my family and our players and our team. So yeah, I think that's probably you know, just with the pandemic, you know, you kind of, you know, tried to stay, you know, in an environment that would keep you and the people around you as safe as possible. So spent a lot of time with the family and just, like I said, just doing things that you know, we could do together.
Coach Grant, thank you for your time as always, buddy. I'll be cheering for you guys as always, man. ATM.
I appreciate you, man.
Keep going strong, brother.
There you go. Yeah, always a pleasure, man.
Anytime, Coach. Anthony Grant on the Boss Show.
Take care, man.
Thank you guys so much.